there's so much to do right now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay. Tell you what I'm going to do.
Happy Independence Day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a special edition of Political QRM.
Hello, hello, folks. Are you as pissed off as I am? Excuse the vernacular.
No. It's going to be Independence Day on Wednesday.
Okay, Independence Day. Yeah, yes, but are we and wait a minute. Obama will be in France on July 4th. Yes, with Prime Minister Hollande, a socialist. Okay, we won't go into that.
It's apparatchik.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't this a meeting of all the KGB apparatchiks?
Listen, I don't know.
Want to dull the senses? You know what? The fact that the President of the United States is going to be out of town for Independence Day, A, does not surprise me. B, surprises me if anyone else is surprised.
Yeah, well.
And it makes me feel better about the Union.
Yeah, it does. Doesn't, you know, we actually got rid of him for a major American holiday.
Which is nice, because he won't be tying up traffic anywhere.
That's right. That's right. Of course, he won't be paying respect to our founding fathers, and, you know, the fact that the Declaration of Independence was signed then, and, you know.
The darn about is Karl Marx.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I say that with all due respect, Mike. You know, respect
to who?
Due respect doesn't add up to much.
No, oh, no. Okay, so we got to stop dancing around this.
Dancing around what, Anne-Marie?
Well, finally, something out there that we can blame George Bush for.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm not into laying blame, per se. But
no.
When it comes to appointing the chief traitor of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the
chief justice. The justice, too. Yeah.
Chief justice. You know, this is something we can blame George Bush for. But
yes. Yes.
Not for anything. Yes, we can blame him, but by the same token, I'm sorry. Can you say blindsided?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you know.
Well, what did
I'm still speechless.
Family somewhere with taped up with duct tape or something?
I don't know.
What do they got? They got something? They got a VIG on him or something?
I don't know.
They got a gambling debt somewhere or a hooker somewhere with something to say?
That might be a possibility, because I cannot even think that he would make this decision, considering the fact that now their own lawyer, the Supreme Court...
No.
What?
I spent. Barry, is that you or me?
Why, do you hear something?
Yeah, I hear a bit of a hum.
There is a little bit of a hum in the background, but I'm not sure what that is.
That might be my fans. You know what? But yeah. I'm not turning them off, America. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
They can put up with the fan because it's hot.
I don't know what you got over here. According to my thermometer, it's 92 in the barn and 94 in the kitchen. So, but then again, it's Sunday, so I got a gravy going. Here. Jane, oh my. Start with the wooden spoon. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I heard a hum, and I didn't want to have that blow the first 10 minutes of the podcast.
Okay. All right. This whole thing about it being a tax, what the Supreme Court did the first day of oral arguments was bring their own lawyer in to take a look at it and to decide whether or not this was indeed a tax.
Well, it used to be the Solicitor General. Now I'm starting to think it's El Solicitor General.
Yeah, well, anyway, they brought their own lawyer in. The lawyer said, no, this was not a tax. They had gotten that part out of the way. So can somebody tell me why in heaven's name Robert says it is a tax? I have no clue. I have no clue why the heck they did that.
Well, my issue is this. I read somewhere, I don't know if it was WorldNet, I don't remember if it was Media Matters, I honestly don't. There was an op-ed piece written by... You know what, I'm not going to remember any of this stuff, so I'm going to get into the meat.
Okay.
People themselves.
Whoopee.
I think the title of the article was How the Supreme Court Destroyed a Law School... A law school lesson in what constitutes a tax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I started to read Chief Justice Roberts' opinion. And it flies smack squarely in the face of how law schools around the world teach what is and is not a tax. A tax is, for the people listening, if you want to boil it down, it's if I am going to give you money for goods or services across a table, and as it passes across the table, a government hand reaches in, takes a piece of it, and pushes it back over to your side of the table. That is a tax.
Yep.
If the government does not put their hand in and take some money out of the pile as it pushes over across the table to you, there is no tax.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are, not pushing money across the table because a service is not rendered.
That's right.
Ergo, the decision that it's not a tax.
Mm-hmm.
However, okay, let's not call it a tax. Let's call it a fine. Because if I don't buy a goods or services, ergo, an insurance policy,
right,
I must pay a fine, a penalty, a punitive remuneration to the government for the fact, for the consideration of the fact that I did not consume this good or service.
That's right.
What renders it a tax is the fact that it'll be collected by the IRS.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. Yeah.
That's the only reason. So, Justice Roberts, in saying it is not a tax, well, read the rest.
No,
of
it is a tax.
Well, the thing is, well, it is a tax, but his point is to render it palpable, and I'll get into this in a second. Render it palpable to the masses. The idea is, it isn't truly a tax, and this is where El Solicitor General came in saying it's not a tax. It's a fine. It's a levy. It's an excise. It is a punitive payment for not consuming a good or a service. Therefore, it's a lot of things, but the Solicitor General doesn't consider it a tax.
Okay.
Now, here's my thing. We don't know whether Justice Roberts has a mistress, and that's why the DNC got a hold of him and said, you're going to vote this way. We don't know if he's got a matter of conscience or if he strictly took issue with the phraseology of the suit, ergo tax. Let's assume, arguendo, that none of that is true. Let's assume, arguendo, that there's another motivation. And jumping on things like the traitor, the chief traitor, or the chief turncoat, or the chief... Maybe, just maybe, he just single-handedly made this an election issue at every level, from the federal government to the state to the county to the municipality.
Either way, it was going to be an election issue, though, Lou. It really was, don't you think? I mean, you know.
But I think he just nailed down a plank in the RNC's platform.
Well, sure, yeah, but you know what? But you know what, though? One thing that bothers me is that he changed his mind at the last minute.
And that's what makes me think that some of the earlier statements might be a little bit more true.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I don't know if they've got his wife duct taped in the basement, or if he's got a hooker in the background. I mean, look, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Chief Justice Roberts. I don't care if you're Lou from Casco, Maine. I don't care if you're Amory from New Hampshire. I don't care if you're... Well, okay, maybe we'll stop with the... But, you know, even if you're the Pope, I'm sorry, you've got a skeleton. If you've got a closet, boys and girls, you've got a skeleton.
Sure.
Everybody does.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, is Obama and his ilk would not turn down a chance to use that.
Yeah, but they don't have a cemetery in their closets. They've got a skeleton. They've got cemeteries.
Yeah, they've got
in
cemeteries.
Their
exactly. I know.
And worse, they've got crematoria in there.
That's true. I just don't understand this, though. I mean, you know, basically, they've upheld it. They have said it. Okay, so he said it's a tax, so it can be repealed. This tax can be repealed by a majority, yes. However, I have to ask this, since when does Congress ever repeal a tax?
Willingly repeal a tax is not something that's A, unheard of. B,
true, but that's true.
In this case, because by labeling it a tax that was not let by Congress, by the House of Representatives, this single institution in the checked and balanced government to levy such things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They imposed a law, but they did not impose a tax. Since it is now declared a tax, they have the option of revocation.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
You think for a second America's, you know what, they may vote for Barack Obama as president, but they're going to stack, pack, and rack the deck with Republicans that are going to say, oh, let's get rid of this tax.
No, you know something? I think that it's just become a lot more difficult for Obama to even have a chance, snowball's chance in hell in winning, because I know people are really ticked off, myself included, and I've already started asking people who you voted for, which I never do. I don't do. But
no,
I
don't do that. It's
but I'm doing that this time. I'm sorry.
In my head is so super sacrosanct.
Nope. Because you know what? We had a local guy come up the our driveway yesterday, and he worked for a financial agency, and he was forming his own branch. And he wants us as a customer. And now this has to do with our money. So I looked at him. I said, okay, who are you supporting for president? You think I'm going to give somebody my money to take care of if they're supporting Obama? Because you know damn well they're not going to try and make money for me. They're not.
Well, you know what? I guess you're in a position because I don't have any money, so it ain't nobody coming.
Please. Not really. We don't.
If I were in a position to have to decide where to put money, you're right, I would ask. I would at least see if I could put a feeler out to their leanings, their proclivities.
I came right out and asked them. I've had it. And let me tell you what else I did. Barry has been having problems with good old American Express, okay? Now, he's had a card with American Express, and I've had actually a card with American Express since 1979, all right? So what happened was he calls American Express in order to, clear this up, and he gets somebody from India. So he said, I'm sorry. He said, can you give me a supervisor or somebody? You know, I really want to speak to somebody who, you know, is from America.
Hello, this is Peggy.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I know. However, so... somebody called back, right? A supervisor called back, but he wasn't home. I was. And it just happened to be the day that the ruling came down from the Supreme Court about Obamacare. Okay? I was not feeling what you would say charitable. So so the guy gets on the phone. By the way, his name's Brian, by the way. Okay? I'm like, hello. So what he does is, I said, hello. And all of a sudden I hear this string of... I know it was at least 30 words, but it sounded like one because he was speaking so quickly. Hello, this is Brian from American Express. I understand you have a problem with da-da-da-da. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, stop right there. Said, in the first place, I cannot understand a single word you are saying. Okay? Oh, and then so he slows down. I said, okay, second, guess what? Get me somebody from America. Thank you very much. That'll take 24 to 48 hours. I said, fine. I'll wait. Goodbye.
Americans are unfamiliar with the fact that they have the right to speak to someone in America. Well, all you need to do is that now there's going to be a time frame, as you said,
fine.
24 to 48 hours. But you will be contacted by someone who, if their name is Bryant, is really named Bryant.
Bryant. Well, see, that's the thing. I have had it, number one. I've had it with our tax system being so high, capital gains, corporate tax being so high that they have to outsource this stuff, okay? Number one. Number two, let me tell you something. You want to make money over in India? Don't make it off of my back. Get off your butts. Embrace freedom and liberty and the capitalist system. Get rid of your stupid caste system. So, you know... I've had it.
Point of order, the caste system has been against the law since 1949.
Don't tell me it doesn't exist there, because
it does. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying that it's been against the law to use it as a hiring or firing practice
please.
Since 1949.
That's fine. That's hunky-dory. But you know what? The caste system is still alive and well in India, and you know it. But let me just say this.
As you said, embrace freedom and liberty and...
stop making...
capitalist... Nobody does capitalism better than the BRIC nations.
Oh, yeah, right.
Who does...
What? Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Oh, yes.
Some more capitalist nations than those.
Yeah, right. Okay, baby.
Goods and services, and they're making a lot of money doing it, and they're not taxing the hell out of it. What do you think is better, capitalism, theirs or ours?
Well, we have to stop. That we have to stop taxing our corporations so much money that they are taking jobs away.
Yep, you're right. Now, I'm not a Buchananite.
No.
I'm not a xenophobe.
No, neither am I. Come on, you know I'm not. But this just, I don't know. I guess the ruling by the Supreme Court just made me see another step back for America, or another step toward the dustbin of history. Really got to me. I'm sorry. So I guess I went into a little bit of,
protective mode.
Yes, that's it, basically.
I have no problem if they want to bring everything they own lock, stock, and barrel to whether it's India, whether it's Brazil, whether it's the Cayman Islands, whether it's Switzerland. I don't care where they take their money. As long as they don't take my money.
But you know what? The funny thing is that when you deal with a call center, no matter what it's for, whether it's a credit card company or, informational thing, and they're in India and you're an American, the only thing they do is read from a script. They read from a script. And they do not understand the American mindset. They do not understand the idea of give and take. They don't understand, your payment plan with us has been exemplary. Well, you know what? I am going to pass this on, and we will say, we'll give you a break. They don't cut breaks, okay?
I don't deal with them.
Well, that's why I want to do it.
Because legally, they have to provide you someone in America if you ask.
And we do.
Now, if you ask, then you get contacted within, a few days by someone who's truly named Brian, or Kevin. Or,
I hope to God, yeah.
Or Peggy, or whatever.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do what you need to do with that company. I happen to have gone through it with a different financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
And I went round and round with these people for days. And I finally said, I need to speak to someone in the United States.
Yep.
They said the same thing. It could take 24 to 48 hours. And when I got someone in the United States, I say, the fact that it took 36 hours for you to contact me does not count as time that you would put me in arrears for. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. We won't charge you for that day and a half or whatever. That'll be exempt. I said, you're doggone right, it'll be exempt, because I don't deal with people that I cannot understand.
That's right.
And that's just how it is. And
that's
they mean. Said, well... And I said, look, your business plan model, whatever, is not my business.
Mm-hmm.
My business is, I have an issue, I need it corrected.
Mm-hmm.
I need to speak to someone I can understand to correct it.
Yep.
We did. It took me 2 hours of talking to various and sundry people in India or Bangladesh or Pakistan or wherever, Kyrgyzstan. I don't know where they were, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It took me hours. I spent 10 minutes on the phone with this fella from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And not only was it resolved, but it was resolved above and beyond the expectations and liking that I would have given them credit for.
Yep, see.
So, you think that with all the blogs and all the complaints they get,
yep,
that they'd say, maybe we should ought to change our business plan, model, practice, whatever, and say, let's put it this way. Let's say 4 out of 10 calls are resolved amicably or adequately or whatever you want to call it. 4 out of 10 are resolved by calling the call center in India.
Okay.
The other 6 are not. And out of those other 6, 5 of which we lose the account.
Yeah.
Which cost us more money?
Mm-hmm.
The amount of money we would have spent on an American in a call center, or the amount of money we lost by losing the account?
Mm-hmm.
And having to settle, because to settle out, you know, you so let's just use a round number, $20,000, to settle out the account because of the issues at hand. A lot of times they have to settle for $7,000 or $8,000 out of $20,000. They're losing money hand over fist.
Yeah, it's true.
But maybe they don't, you know what, maybe they don't feel like that's important, because all they have to do is stick their hand out to Uncle Sam and he'll give them billions of dollars.
Yep, that's true. Anyway, so we got a little bit off track here, but, you know.
Back to the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Yes.
I was a little annoyed with them earlier in the week.
Regarding?
They overturned and ruled against a law known as stolen honor.
Yeah, yes. That's ridiculous.
Declaring the fact that if somebody wants to stand there and say, I've got a Congressional Medal of Honor, and they don't, they can't be prosecuted for representing themselves as having achieved the Congressional Medal of Honor.
I can't believe that. I do not understand. What? It you know what that? It cheapens.
They call it First Amendment rights. You can say
no, it's
anything.
Not. Because...
I don't
you could say it. Well, you wait a minute. You can say it, but darn it, mm-hmm. you have to deal with the consequences, I believe. You can say anything you want.
That's right. The problem is the Supreme Court took away those consequences.
That's true.
That was a federal crime.
So
that was a federal crime for someone to go up and say, you know, just look at my chest and say, oh, look, I've got those medals too.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you,
and,
know,
you know, as you said, it cheapens my medals because any schmo walking down the street can say they've got them.
That's true. Yes.
You know, and you know what? I don't care if it's a simple good conduct medal.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't have. I was never good for 30 days in a row.
Okay.
If it was a simple good conduct medal. You know, I'm sorry, good conduct medal is, and I don't want to cheapen it for my brothers and sisters out there who have one.
Mm-hmm. No.
Not that I'm at all bitter that I don't have one. But
kid, it's a badge of honor for you that you don't have one.
Almost, right? But the idea is, since I don't have one, if I were to go down to, I don't know, Fred's Military Surplus Store.
Mm-hmm.
And buy the ribbon and stick it on my bunch of ribbons that stick to my chest. And walk around and you know, I spent many years going to Rolling Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Down in D.C. You know, I spent many years as an active DJ doing gratis work for many of Vietnam Vets Motorcycle Club, Rolling Thunder itself, you know, various other... motorcycle runs and stuff aimed towards either the POW MIA issue,
right,
or the VA issues and things like that. And, of course, I wore my vest because largely around motorcycle enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
So the vest I wore on my motorcycle for so many years, and, of course, it does have some representations of where I've been and what I did. And If somebody walked up to me and said, oh my God, Lou, you have a good conduct medal? Yeah, that's right, I've got a good conduct medal. No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if this guy's standing there in front of me and he's got stuff pinned to his vest and he has a good conduct medal, oh, I just made his worth half as much.
Yep, I agree. So basically, it's like, so, you know, I'm carrying this a bit too far, but does that mean then that, you know, basically, it's misrepresenting yourself, right? So basically, I could be a brain surgeon.
No.
I could say I'm a brain. No, I'm just teasing. I mean, we could carry
this. What brought it before the Supreme Court was there was a public official somewhere who had it on his resume.
Yes.
That
yes.
Wasn't the recipient of some battle decorations.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be false, and he lost his job, so he sued. And but wait, didn't somebody else recently say that they were a veteran with a battle veteran? You know, stuff like that.
Who was that? Do you remember?
No, I don't actually. You know, I don't remember.
Yeah, I know. Okay, you
it was one of the, candidates in the early stages.
It was, and I forget who it was from somewhere. Well, whatever.
But my issue is, you know, on my resume, I don't even have that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if it were to come to, you know, where I used to work up here in Maine, every Veterans Day, we had a thing where on the outside of whether you worked in a cubicle or a department would surround it, you know, you would put your picture from when you were in the service up on your little, in front of your area, your cubicle, whatever. And the director of operations used to come around and thank all of us for our service and stuff like that. Well, that's nice. And it's a very nice little thing that they did up there. I appreciated it every year. But I didn't, you know, we'd get together, those of us who did have pictures hanging outside our work area, and we'd talk about, well, basically war stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd discuss such things. But I had no reason whatsoever, if one of these fellas said he got the Navy Cross, to doubt him.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I had no reason whatsoever if a guy said he won, you know, a Bronze Star. I had no reason to doubt him.
Mm-hmm.
Purple Heart. I had no reason to doubt him. Or her. You know, we didn't have any hers, but, you know, if there mm-hmm. was one. Now?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That's true. Damn shame. Really. It's a shame. It is a shame. It seems like, I don't know, are they spiking the water over at the Supreme Court or something between that decision and the Obamacare decision? Oh, which is now called Obama Tax.
Yes, with the Arizona decision.
The Arizona decision, too. Gosh, I mean, you know, the only thing it the Arizona decision left in place was the right of the police, if they suspect that, you know, you are an illegal, to show some identification.
Yep.
That's it.
That's all that's there.
That's it.
That's all that's there. And the ACLU already filed suit against it.
Obama says they're going to ignore it.
Right. Well, federally.
Federally.
The issue is that the ACLU filed suit based on the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States has enjoined racism.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
And so, of course, Sheriff Joe's very silent on this, isn't he? but, what you know, when it comes right down to it, Obama says we're going to ignore it,
mm-hmm.
and he can enforce the fact through the other criminal, I mean, through the Attorney General, to have ICE agents and Customs and Treasury and immigration people, you know, so if a cop in Gila Monster, Arizona, pulls a guy over, you know, and he's a drunk driver and he wants some identification, and they give him identification, they find out he is indeed an illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So So they take him into custody, and they sober him up, and they turn him over to ICE, and ICE cuts him loose.
Yep.
That's what the president is talking about. You bust them all you want. You can spend all the manpower, all the man hours, all the money you want on busting them and rounding them up, and we're going to turn them loose.
Isn't that nice?
Well, you know, you can't have the customs people, the treasury people, the immigration people, sending all those Democrat voters out of the country on a bus.
That's true, and that's what they are. They're all Democrat voters. And that's the way that they are going to try and win. Excuse me.
I don't think it's going to happen this time. I'm really getting more and more convinced by the day, just in watching. And you know, I'm a little bit less I'm a little bit less news source oriented than you are. I do go to a lot of different sources nowadays, more so than I used to. Some of them that you sent me links for. But I'm more of a blog crawler.
Okay.
I run around and look at what people are actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
Not the talking heads, you know. I mean, look, I like some of these guys. Right. I do. Mm-hmm. I think Bill Hemmer's a good fella. You know, Brett Baer's a great guy. You know, I trust him. Shepard Smith wears a little bit too much makeup. But for the most part, I like these talking heads. You know, I was a big fan of America's friend Paul Harvey for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Cronkite and Brinkley and Huntley and all these guys. But I'm more interested in what, because we have access to it now,
mm-hmm.
in what the people are saying. Not people elected to anything. Not people paid for any of this stuff. People who are out there expressing their opinion, as is currently still their right to do in the United States of America.
At least for the present.
For the present, you know. I like to see what's going on, and I really, really, just judging from the commentary under any of the blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you got the Dem apparatchiks going through there and you know.
Yeah, the trolls.
Trolling trouble, and, you know, and you can always tell because they've got 23 posts that all say the same thing, and they go from just typed in there to all caps, and all caps with larger fonts, and all this other. You could tell it's a Democrat troll. But what people are saying, I think it's going to be a tough row to hoe for him to. I don't think there's that many illegals in the nation to give him the election this time.
I hope not.
Because I think that we're going to see massive questions on voter fraud come November. Massive.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're going to see, instead of a polling place having one monitor that's supposed to sit there and call whether or not a vote is in question, you're going to see them lined up, standing behind every voter.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, the only blessing is the places where you have to provide ID.
Speaking about voter ID, New Hampshire's House and Senate.
Following the lead of Maine's House and
overthrew
Senate.
Overthrew Governor Lynch's veto of voter ID. Yay!
Well,
finally.
You got hope over there.
Yeah, yeah. We have the Speaker of the House, Bill O'Brien, man with guts. A lot of people don't like him, but I do, because he looks
straight. Well, if they don't like him.
He's doing his job. He's doing his job. I like him because he'll look in a person's face and tell them why he thinks they're wrong, and this is why he wants to do things this way. So I like him that way. And I'll be honest, he kind of ticks off a lot of the Republicans. They're the ones that, those are the moderates, though. But he's getting things done, and he's getting really, really some bad press, and that's fine. But he's a very, very solid conservative, and that's what I like about him.
We have a huge rhino population in our House and Senate.
Oh, God. We do, but, you know, conservatives getting.
It's not so much that they're rhino, they're more of the school of can't we all just get along.
Yeah, I don't like that. Because you can't all get along, because there are always people out there that want to kill you, or hurt you, or take away what is yours.
I encountered one outside the polling place last month. we had our primary and stuff like that last month, and I encountered one of these state representatives at the polling place.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I've seen your voting record. I said, you're one of those can't we all just get along kind of guys. Well, you know, it would be nice if we could all get along. Don't you think we can all get along? And I looked him dead in the eye and said, no.
No, you can't. No, I don't understand why people don't understand this. Why don't people understand this? Oh, wait a minute. I just have to bring up one more thing about Roberts, which kind of leads me to believe that there's something mentally wrong there. Because about his comments that he said, that he was at a conference, judicial conference, okay? And judicial conference of the District of Columbia Circuit, okay? And he said that he was going to Malta. And he says, Malta, as you know, is an impregnable island fortress. It seemed like a good idea. Now, come on, guys. You know, it's sort of like rubbing salt in the wound.
Well, Malta hasn't actually been a...
No, but I'm saying he's trying to get out of the way, and he's making a joke at it. He makes one of the most, I mean, far-reaching decisions of in the annals of the United States.
Of his tenure on the bench.
Are you kidding? Are you not even tenure on the bench? Hey, by the way, can we get rid of this guy? Outside of death?
No, yeah, death, that's it. Death or retirement. They're unimpeachable. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that.
Isn't there some sort of statute?
There is no precedent, and I don't believe there's statute for recall. I don't. But that's not saying that you can't take an existing statute for a different position and apply it.
We'll see.
But that is an appointment for life, and
too bad.
You know what? I think public outcry could cause not so much an impeachment, but enough of a well, let's call it a hostile work environment.
Yeah. Can you believe that Kennedy wanted to throw the whole law out? Kennedy!
Well, that's... I posted
it was amazing.
In one of my social media that, from what I gather, the other eight justices were like, where the hell did that come from?
Yes. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I mean, even the complete... Even Sotomayor looked around and said, what?
Yeah. I know. It's just like, what? You're siding with us? I
not
know.
So much deciding, but with that you know decision of his own
Take on it was ridiculous.
Yeah, his own paper, his own rationale for the decision.
Yeah. It took me
so long to get through that because my eyes couldn't focus because I was shaking my head so violently.
Yeah, I know.
That I didn't even. It took me forever to get through the rest of the decision.
I know. What do you think of Romney's comments?
I think that Romney's comments were more spot on than I had expected.
Yes, I have to agree. Yes.
You know, I really didn't expect him to be quite that in there.
Yeah.
You know,
He focused. He really focused on what it meant to the American people.
I was so surprised. I mean, pleasantly surprised. But surprised nonetheless that he actually, it caught me by surprise. Leave it at that.
Let me just read a paragraph of what he said. He said, Obamacare was bad policy yesterday. It's bad policy today. Obamacare was bad law yesterday. It's bad law today. Let me tell you why I say that. Obamacare raises taxes on the American people by approximately $500 billion. Obamacare cuts Medicare by approximately $500 billion. And even with those cuts and tax increases, Obamacare adds trillions to our deficits and to our national debt and pushes those obligations onto coming generations. Obamacare also means that for up to 20 million Americans, they will lose the insurance they currently have, the insurance that they like and they want to keep. Obamacare is a job killer. Businesses across the country have been asked what the impact is of Obamacare. Three-quarters of those surveyed by the Chamber of Commerce said Obamacare makes it less likely for them to hire people. And perhaps most troubling of all, Obamacare puts the federal government between you and your doctor. Bingo.
Bingo.
I mean, that's just part of his statement, but I'll tell you.
Death tribunals.
Yeah. Yeah, it
is. And, The trick is, and I don't remember who it was, one of these Hollywood elite limousine liberals, tweeted, "Oh, my hero, he promised it, he did it, he's the man."
You sure it wasn't Michael Moore?
No. The poor people of America can have...
That's baloney.
Let me explain for the people listening. One of the... Father Guido Sarducci said years ago that everything you learn in college can be taught in 5 minutes. And he said, look, you take a language for 4 years. You take Spanish. 5 years after you get out of college, what do you remember? Como está usted? And muy bien. Economics. You buy something, you sell it for more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the economics. Insurance companies will now cut everybody loose on policies they want, they've worked for, they've paid for, and desire to keep, and cut everybody loose and say, well, you know, with Obamacare, now we've got to redo your policy when it's expired. And this is what it's going to cost you. And just using my one cousin, for example, she pays... I think it's $1,600 a calendar quarter to maintain her insurance. That's her contribution to it. So, you know, that's this is going to turn around and they're going to say, well, you can't have that policy anymore. But for $1,600 a quarter, you can have this policy.
Yeah, which you get less.
And you're going to get less, much less, because now that... if the government turned around and said, you have to buy canned corn, mm-hmm. whether you use it or not, you have to buy canned corn.
Yep.
Well, what do you expect when you march yourself down to your local grocery store is going to happen to that 79-cent can of corn?
It's going to go up.
It's going to be $4.99.
Yep. That's right.
But you have to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't buy it, you have to pay a fine of $4.99. to the IRS.
Yep.
So you have to buy canned corn. Mm-hmm. Well, it's supply and demand.
Yep.
Not that we don't have adequate canned corn. But you have to buy it. The price goes up. It's supply and demand. 101. We are going to supply this. It's going to cost you this much money. Well, okay. Well, supply it to me. Well, you know, you have to buy that. Just like car insurance. I had car insurance back in New Jersey before it was needed. I had it because I did a lot of traveling back and forth to different stations in the United States when I was in the service.
Mm-hmm.
Then they made it mandatory because it had Jersey plates on it,
mm-hmm.
that I had to have insurance. I think it cost me $12 a year before that. After it was mandatory, it cost me $12 a month.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Because
up
you make here, something you make it mandatory, they're going to charge you more.
Yeah, up here, car insurance is not mandatory. So actually, we have pretty decent rates compared to other states and compared to where we used to live before. So, yeah. No, I know.
Well, I pay, granted it's only on the one car. I think I pay, it's about $550, $580, something like that a year. For car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have comprehensive and fire and full replacement value. My goodness, the car ain't worth $1,000. But I do have to have certain minimums, and that's what I have. And that's great. But the same policy on the same car 8 years ago this week when we left New Jersey was $1,100.
Oh my God.
We came up here and it went down to $580. That's half.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a big difference. Yeah.
We were shocked.
Yeah.
We were shocked that it was half.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd be willing to wager that if I moved across the line to your side, it would probably cost me $380.
Maybe, maybe not. Depends. You know, it's possible. But, you know,
But if you make it mandatory,
this is not good.
It goes up. Now, it is mandatory here in Maine, but, you know, you got to remember, the entire population of Maine is the same as the entire population of Newark. So,
the moose outnumber the people.
Well, not anymore, but I wish they did.
I know.
Well, moose, at least you can reason with.
How do you reason with a 1,200-pound animal that wants to sit wherever it wants to. Let it sit wherever it wants to.
Let it sit where it wants to sit.
Yeah.
Reason
with them. No, I just, I don't know. What?
But I still take pictures of all the turkeys.
Turkeys?
Yeah. I have a photo booth up in the tree, and it's free pictures. Look here, wait for flash.
You nasty man, you.
Hey, I can't help it. If they didn't want me to eat them, why'd they make them out of meat?
Although, you better not come to my house. You better leave my turkeys alone.
Are you kidding me? I'd harvest that place like I was picking apples. We just had another baby, or I don't know how many. I haven't lifted up the chicken to look. We just had another hatch.
Oh, congratulations.
I should have took a picture and sent it to you. They're like this big.
Oh, tiny.
Tiny, and they're wet, nasty looking. But in a couple of hours, they dry off. Absolutely adorable. The way I figure it is, when they're that size, a little bit of egg, a little bit of breadcrumb, right?
No!
Anyway, I digress. So, it's a question of making something available. They say, well, this law will make it available for people to have health insurance. So the health insurance are going to give this health insurance to these people at this alarmingly low rate. And just exactly how effective you expect that health insurance to be.
I know.
All it will be for your however much a year that you pay because you're below the poverty line, all it's going to be is you can't throw, it's going to be a card.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either the Blue Cross thing or the Obamacare thing or the Medco thing, whatever. And all it's going to say on there is you can't throw me out of your ER because I have this insurance.
Yeah, but you can't get thrown out of an ER now. Because during I believe it was Reagan, he signed it into law that nobody can be refused health care, any care, if they don't have insurance or if they don't have money. They cannot refuse health care if they walk into an ER.
They can't be refused health care, but let me clarify that. They can't
treatment.
They can't refuse to treat you to a stable manner.
Mm-hmm.
And then make arrangements for you to be someplace else. They have to stabilize you, or if you're in labor, they have to, get you through labor, that kind of a thing.
No, but even if you need...
That doesn't mean that they take you upstairs and give you a nice room and three meals a day and all the medicine for 14 weeks. No, that means they stabilize you, and if you have no money...
Excuse me, I heard more than once, oh, I'm sorry, it was done to illegal aliens.
Different.
Oh, that's different.
The Democrat voters are a protected class. That's different.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Illegal aliens. I'm sorry.
A lot of people are now calling them undocumented Democrats.
Yeah, well, that's basically what they are.
Yep, that's what they are.
They're documented with a voter card, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or a driver's license. They get driver's licenses, too.
Mm-hmm.
They get driver's licenses. And it's getting more and more sticky because they've changed and I don't remember exactly when, but in the last few years they've changed the list of nations from which you can declare sanctuary refugee status, and then the quota system doesn't apply to you if you can prove that you're a refugee. And they've included Haiti and Dominica, and they've included most of the Middle East and stuff like that. So now, if you come to this country in the wheel well of a 747 and you fall out and you're half frozen and all this other stuff, and the ICE agents come over and say, what's going on? All you have to do is say refugee. That's the only word you need to know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And those things were all...
Hey, guess what? Nancy Pelosi was opening up her mouth again.
I wasn't aware she had closed it.
Yeah, I know. But she was just like, so overwrought with gratitude for the Supreme Court ruling that her latest thing was, she said, I knew Ted Kennedy would go to heaven and help us pass the bill.
I think.
Oh my God. One of my Twitter followers tweeted to me that and said, well, if there's any karma, Ted Kennedy's going to be in hell trying to get out of a car that's drowning. I'm like, yeah.
Be in heaven.
Huh?
I said, if there's any karma, he is going to be in heaven.
Why?
Well, because that way he won't be in my way in hell.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay, that's fine.
If somebody should check HRT pills and make sure she's taking them. So.
Man, I'll tell you, she is unbelievable.
I wonder if it's not. If my beloved Debbie was here, she'd probably whack me something on the back of my head hard enough to knock my headphones off. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to look and say, hormones are not our friends.
God. Okay.
I can't put a finger on. You know, I mean, if she was always in her home, you could say, well, let's check the pipe for lead. You know, I mean, if it, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what else can we attribute to the way this woman acts? It's got to be hormonal. You know what, though?
I think she's far beyond having hormones, dear. Really, I think it's, you know, I think it's what we talked about earlier with the Botox. Really?
Yeah, I think it is. She's been doing that neurotoxic substance in her skin subcutaneously now for so long.
It's leached into
her spinal cord or something.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it's just like, you know, and... comic relief, you know, I don't know.
No, the problem is it's not funny.
I know. No, it's not
funny. I
mean,
we can sit here and make fun of it, but it's not funny. It makes you, seriously makes you wonder what's going on. I mean, I've been to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an odd place, I'll grant you that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think of it as a bad place. I certainly don't believe the people there are evil or anything. I mean, you know, but...
I don't know. When was the last time you were there? How many years ago?
I don't know, 1970.
Oh, sweetie, it's changed for the worse. If you thought it was bad then and weird then, it's even worse now. You know, if a homeless person decides to camp on your lawn, you can't move them? A whole bunch of laws. Seriously. It's
if he doesn't wake up in the morning, who do they call?
Ghostbusters? No, sorry. No, that was bad. That was bad. That was very bad.
That was pretty rough.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
That one.
Yeah. But
it makes me wonder how this woman keeps getting elected.
Because she panders to the people out there, and she makes them know that she cares about them, and, you know, and all this other stuff. So there you go.
Well, you know, I mean, Maine is the pine tree state. New Hampshire is the granite state.
Mm-hmm.
We're from New Jersey, the garden state.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that it's called the garden state because it is not just Bayway and Newark Airport and Atlantic City casinos. There's a whole lot going on there. And,
that's right.
You know, the state slogan, you know, where every puddle has its own rainbow.
Because of the oil.
Yeah. California.
Yes.
State.
What?
Cereal state. The land of fruits, nuts, and lots of flakes.
Oh, God. We're going to get protested.
Hey, if we don't get swatted, I don't care who protests.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, it must be the heat.
I thought it was bad as it was. I really lost all my faith. And don't get me wrong. I liked the guy, at least back then. But the fact that they voted for the governor.
Yeah.
Made me shake my head so hard I had a headache for 3 days.
I think it was desperation.
And then, but wait, I shook my head so hard I had a headache for 3 days.
Okay.
When they put Jerry Brown back in,
Governor Moonbeam,
I had a headache for a week and I didn't even shake my head. I think I hit it on the edge of my desk when I passed out that they reelected this clown.
I know. Did you hear, wait a minute? Did you hear the latest thing in California? They have made No, they have made California has made foie gras illegal.
Well, good. That's more for us.
Yeah, there you go. I'm just like, what? Okay, that's fine. You know, everything's illegal.
Actually, some time ago, because of the fact that it harms. Harms animals.
Yes.
I raise my chickens free-range organic.
Mm-hmm.
I raise them with respect for the fact that they are indeed alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I process, because we don't say kill or slaughter anymore, you know. When I process a chicken, I perform the process in a kosher manner, because it is indeed more humane than just dragging them over to a stump and whacking them between their neck somewhere with an axe.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the treatment of animals. When the viral videos came out about the what was it, Kentucky Fried chickens were being kicked and dropped and thrown and all that other stuff.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Protests and everything. I have a respect for life, human and otherwise. Mm-hmm. I have a respect for them. So I get it. I get the idea that they want to protect our little feathered friends.
Mm-hmm.
But if they didn't want us to eat them, why did they make them out of meat?
I know. But you know what? These liberal states and cities are carrying everything a bit too far. You have New York City going on and on now with the milkshakes and popcorn. For heaven's sake, get out of my refrigerator. Oh, get it. What?
Bloomy. That's
good old Bloomy.
Yeah, that's His Honor Nanny in Charge, Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, that's him. And yeah, but it's still
because you know he's a trillionaire or some such thing like that, and
there you go.
Because he's successful and he's a trillionaire, he obviously knows much better than you what's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you huddled, unwashed, you know, peons, you can't possibly know what's good for you, so I'm going to take care of it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the heck with whether or not... I got news for you, Bloomy. You go on outside of, that triangle. You go north of Soho and Tribeca, you know, in the Village and stuff like that. You go on up into the Bronx. You go on up into Brooklyn. You go on over into Queens. And you walk into some of those Latin food places and you tell me they're using nothing but city-approved polyunsaturated oil.
Yeah, I know.
You know, who do you think you're kidding? You walk into some bodega up there in the Bronx and you tell me you can't get as much of any kind of soda you want.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what are they going to have? The soda police? You know what I mean? The food police out there? Who the heck can do it?
But they don't want... These people are public, so they don't want to go up to the Bronx and up over into Brooklyn and stuff. They want to wander around Lower Manhattan checking the oil and checking the size of the cups and all. They ain't going into the outer boroughs.
Mm-mm.
You know, they're walking to some bodega for a specific instance in the middle of... Fort Apache territory. They're not going up into, of those and say, oh, well, you know, your cups are too large.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going up. They're sticking around. They're checking all the Starbucks and McDonald's and Steak and Ale's and Flame Steak and all those other places down in Manhattan.
Yep.
You know, they're walking into all the movie theaters down there and Tribeca, checking to make sure that they only have the small and medium popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going out to the outer boroughs. They don't get paid enough for that. Granted, they make 60 a year, but they're not going to be. They don't pay me enough to drive all the way out there, in my city paid for a car. That's all that it matters. And you know, it's pipe dream. Just a pipe dream.
Yeah, so basically you can make all the New York, the Manhattan liberals feel really proud of themselves, and they can pat themselves on the back that they've taken this giant step in alleviating obesity somewhere.
How do you know?
Hmm?
Those Hollywood limousine, New York City limousine liberals, when they're at the opening of whatever exhibit at the Whitney Museum and they see the fact that all the soda cups are 16 ounces or less, they'll feel so good about themselves.
Yeah, they will.
It's a way. No, they were bought at a market, you know, at an auction somewhere, and they're all out in the Bronx.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They didn't throw them out. You think the guy who's running some little mom and pop store on 131st Street, you think he gives a doggone whether the 20 ounce cups say McDonald's, Burger King, you know, whatever? He doesn't care.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, these people, they can feel good about themselves. Well, that's nice. I'm sure Bloomy sleeps better at night.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you know what the other issue is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I found out some time ago, but I just remembered it. What will happen is all of the soft drink companies will go to all of the McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because all of that stuff is metered. And they'll set the meter to 19 ounces.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can't get anything over 20 ounces, right? Okay, yeah. So they set the meter for 19 ounces.
Problem solved.
And if the McDonald's people, Burger King people, whoever people are over there, Dunkin' Donuts people, you know, have any sense in their head, if it was a dollar, they'll charge 99 cents for the 19-ounce one.
Yep.
Say we just dropped our price, and everybody will have what they want.
That's true. Hey, they had
That's the American way.
Yeah, of course. Hey, the House voted on Holder's contempt charge.
Yeah, they voted on his contempt charge.
Yeah.
Is he swinging from a rope yet?
Not yet.
Well, we're not done yet.
Not yet. But they could, if they wanted to, arrest him. We'll see what happens.
Arrest, indict, try, and
convict. Yes. Oh, but a lot of the Democrats, I think it was the Black Caucus, walked out. The House members walked out.
Good for them.
Of the vote. I know.
Good for them.
Who cares?
Good for them. We're making a statement. Good. We heard you. Bye. Have a nice day.
Yep. Yeah. That's true.
You know, the rest of the people of America don't care. The rest of the people of America see Fast and Furious as exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
An effort to enact more gun laws.
Yeah, and by the way, they still haven't given Brian Terry's parents how their son died or, you know, the events really leading up to it. Oh, and wait a minute. We got to bring up Pelosi.
Wasn't that forthcoming 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, right. And Pelosi, again, she couldn't remember his name on the floor, the House floor.
Why should she?
She was Brian I don't know. Instead of saying
Terry. I told you that stuff's a neurotoxin. It's destroying brain cells.
There you go. Hey, did you hear about all those storms in the mid-Atlantic down into Virginia?
Oh, my goodness. I saw a picture. I saw a picture of an American elm tree, American birch tree, lying on the in front of the Capitol building.
Mm. Ooh.
And I felt bad. You know, my wife has a distinct love for trees.
Mm-hmm.
She describes herself as a tree hugger.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you the truth, I love trees too.
I've seen her do it. So I mean, she really is.
Mm-hmm.
She loves trees, and I mean, she could tell you if she was here. She could tell you all about that particular tree because I forwarded the article to her, and you know, she could tell you how old it was, and all. She loves trees. She adores trees. So I felt bad for the tree because I knew it was going to make my wife feel bad. So, but yeah, those storms were.
Yeah, they were vicious.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive, because that's not usually what you expect to see from a storm, you know, in the end of June.
No. And, of course, Obama's treating it like, oh, see, global warming, and he's making money off of that, you know?
Oh.
Which is a bunch of baloney.
I want to know what global warming has to do with it.
Because of the high temperatures that preceded
it. Oh, yeah, the high temperatures, yeah.
But you know what? Yeah, that's a bunch of baloney. When I was there, my first year down in D.C. area, 1979, the darn temperature went up to 92 degrees beginning of April and did not go below 92 degrees or 95, didn't even go out of the 90s, for at least 4 months straight.
When I was a kid...
So don't give me this crap.
When I was a kid, I went and marched in the Memorial Day parade every year as a Cub Scout, and then after I got out of Cub Scouts and became a Boy Scout, I had a march in the Memorial Day parade.
Okay.
And every year, we gathered together in the parade ground in the behind the high school, which was their football stadium, but it was also the municipal parade field.
Right.
And all of the people, whether it was the rescue squad, whether it was a fire department, the ladies' auxiliary, you know, all these people, we'd line up, and several people, the mayor and the chairman of the town council, city council, whatever, all these people would make their speeches. And, of course, there was a visiting dignitary, whether it was a state senator, a U.S. senator, a congressman,
okay,
whatever. It was always a very, so every year on Memorial Day, we would be standing there on the parade ground, and there was never a year in the 7 or 8 years I was there that it wasn't 125 degrees and people dropping like flies during all the speeching.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was
and that was Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah. You know, so
that was Memorial Day in North Jersey.
I remember right. Being very, very hot. Come on.
Now, that was Memorial Day in North Jersey. Now, I understand it's a little cooler than that now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
People aren't passing out.
Yeah. No,
but
it's bad. They say all-time records have been smashed throughout the, you know, from the Midwest to the East. You know, and sure, we actually broke a few records last week when we had the humid weather up here. But this week, even though it's very, very warm, we didn't break any records. So it's like, guys, get over it. This is summer.
I have a friend who lives in Kent. As a matter of fact, she doesn't live very far from the Romney Marsh of Disney fame.
Okay.
If you remember the Scarecrow of Romney Marsh. And that was in the 1760s, 70s, somewhere near, if my memory serves. The Scarecrow of Romney Marsh. She doesn't live far from there.
Mm-hmm.
And Kent, of course, is, you know, London is not
right.
far from
yeah.
there. And we have these images in our head of Victorian England and Scrooge and Marley and Bob Cratchit walking around in London in the snow and this, that, and the other.
Okay.
Well, every year in the wintertime, when they get snow in Kent, she freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this past year, they got snow in Kent, and a lot of it.
Yep.
They actually had several storms that shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say shut them down, it's because they got 6 inches of snow.
Well, they never got it, so they don't have the equipment.
In her lifetime... They've never had 6 inches of snow. They've mm-hmm. never had the winters that they remember seeing from all the old pictures of Victorian England. Climate change is one thing, you know, but this mm-hmm. Anthropogenic global warming thing, come on, folks, it's been 25 years, and it's not true. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
The glaciers are growing, yes. They go up there and they measure this glacier and it's smaller. Okay. But the other 9 around it are growing.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know,
I know.
Polar bears are getting to be more and more of a problem.
Yeah.
Because there are more polar bears. Not because, well, they're going down, they're going up, they're going left, they're going right. No, there's so many of them now they're overrunning places.
Yep.
There are more polar bears.
Yep.
The sea levels have
not risen.
What was the picture I saw? Was it 2 days ago, 3 days ago? Al Gore just bought a new place. He just bought a new place that's only like 8 or 10 inches above mean sea level. And say, why would this man who said that the ocean's going to rise by 20 feet buy a home that's 10 inches above sea level?
That's true. Oh, my gosh. The guy's an idiot. But we all know that.
Here's the godfather of global warming. who, aside from flitting around in private jets all over the place.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know, buying a home that, according to him, is going to be flooded out and ruined any sometime in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, or actually should have been ruined by now, according to his predictions, 5-7. You know, how much more of that kind of capriciousness, how much more of that kind of hypocrisy, how much more of that kind of just flat-out weirdness can the American people take?
I think they've reached their limit, and I think they're just, you know, saying that these people are now nuts. Hey, the election over in Egypt. Yeah.
That was called.
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah. They call it, I know.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter when we need him.
Yeah.
With all his running around and being an election committee overseer person for so many years, where is he when we need him?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they told him, hey, Jim, stay home.
Yeah.
We got this. You know, the Hezbollah, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, any of the names you care to substitute for Muslim Brotherhood.
Yep.
Just won the election.
Yep, they did.
Or just was ushered in. And, we're not sure which.
And his one of his main goals is to free the blind sheikh or imam, whatever. No, the imam.
Blind imam.
Yeah. Blind imam from prison. Oh, yeah, really? Okay. All right, yeah.
And guess what? We're not letting him go.
No.
You know, well, he might get some sort of president. Or actually, you know, all they have to do is have Holder sign off
well,
on it, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I would not be a bit surprised, especially if Obama... you are going to see... I'm going to tell you right now. With Obama... when he loses, and God, I pray that he loses on November 6th. It is November 6th. I can't even remember. I'm so confused lately. When he loses, I will bet you within that time period between November and January, he is going to put every hardened criminal he can on the streets of the United States of America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, every president has the to get out of jail free card, you know, And they rarely play them except that last few weeks.
Yep.
He's going to turn them. He's going to close Gitmo. He promised them close Gitmo, and then
There you go.
And then he didn't close Gitmo, and they're all like, "Oh, you promised. Just wait. It's not that he didn't deliver. It's just he didn't deliver yet.
Yet. Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
And that's how it's going to play.
Yep. Hey, Lou, my friend.
Wait, I didn't get my plugs in.
Oh, get your plugs in.
Well, first and foremost, of course, you know you're going to hear this. Heritage.org.
Ta-da.
Get yourself a copy of the real Constitution before they newspeak it to death.
Yes, and don't forget, this Wednesday is the 4th of July. You know,
that's right.
The Declaration of Independence is not a very long document.
Oh, and it's in the same booklet as the Constitution from Heritage.org.
You know, though...
you can read it.
You might want to just take time just to peruse it or read it at a family gathering or with friends, just so everybody knows why we are what we are, the country, the type of country we are.
Now,
you know,
happened? I do have a couple more plugs that I want to...
Go for it.
And this is important because I didn't know stuff like this existed.
Okay.
Everybody knows about people like Toby Keith, you know, and stuff like that with all this pro-American stuff.
Yep.
And as people listening to this know, I despise both kinds of music, country and Western.
Yes.
But someone brought to my attention, and I'll put this in the show notes somewhere.
Okay.
There are artists out there. Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A, Branch, common spelling.
Mm-hmm.
Another band, Madison Rising, as in James Madison, Rising.
Right.
And another one, Ava Aston, A-V-A Aston, A-S-T-O-N.
Okay.
These, if you're into rock instead of country and Western, these
both
are
of which
patriotic.
You despise. Okay.
Both of which I despise.
Yeah.
These are rockers, and Madison Rising is a hard rocker. If you want to have the hairs on your arm's neck, this will give you chills, including up and down your leg.
There you go.
Listen to the Star Spangled Banner done by this band.
Really?
I gotta tell you, I'm not a hard acid type rocker. I'm not big on stuff like Black Sabbath and
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard and stuff like that. I'm not.
Roses.
This is a hard rocking band, and they do the Star Spangled Banner, and it is awesome.
Really?
It is awesome. And Krista Branch does a song. It's called I Am America.
Okay.
And Ava Essen does one saying, What Happened? Madison Rising does one saying, When Reagan Was in Charge.
Ooh. Really?
And they also, if you really want to have a tribute come up, Madison Rising does a song called Soldiers of America, You Will Weep. I'm telling you, I'm not one for plugging bands and stuff. Heck, I didn't even plug my own band.
Uh-oh.
But these bands are awesome. They make real live, honest-to-goodness, American values-based rock and roll.
Okay. That sounds good, then. I'll have to check them out. I was not aware that they were bands.
I wasn't
like
either until yesterday.
Okay. All right.
I'm tickled. When Debbie gets home, I'm going to play that Star Spangled Banner and the Soldiers of America song.
Okay.
And I know she's going to. She's not going to be able to get through the Star Spangled Banner. She's as bad as I am.
Okay.
Take us out.
It's good. Folks, thank you for joining us today. We are. Sorry, Barry. I didn't realize it would come up. I did a no-no, Lou. It's okay. You can't hear it on your end. thank you. Okay, let me try this again. Thanks so much for joining us. I want everybody to have a happy and safe 4th. And don't forget to thank any of our military, if you see them in uniform. Thank them for their service. Thank their families for their sacrifice.
This Wednesday is Independence Day.
Yes.
It is the single most important holiday on our political calendar.
Yes, it is.
Fly your flag, and God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.